Slater hit one over the center field wall just to the right of straightaway center. Didn't clear the wall by that much, but cleared it by enough that Cody Bellinger could not make a play on it. That was the first run of the game. Now he swings and he drives one into deep center again. Bellinger back at the warning track. He looks up. Adios, pelota! It's a two-home run game for Austin Slater, and the Giants have a 3-0 lead.
Now back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
All right, we love the song. It means Kerry Crowley is joining us. Kerry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Marty. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's been an interesting weekend. Just, you know, it's live radio and trying to get everything together here. And again, this morning, I want to thank Jeremiah Crow today, Larry Kruger, and everyone else. We've had a lot of technical issues. So as you do more radio, you will understand that. So you need a good support staff. So I've got it this weekend. But glad to talk with you today. And I don't want to be overly dramatic, and people say sometimes I am, and maybe I get a little carried away. But I thought last night's game was huge for the Giants. I thought it was a statement game, and I thought it had so many twists and turns to it. I'm anxious to get your thoughts about last night.
Yeah, Marty, I think the best place to start is Clayton Kershaw has been historically dominant against the Giants over the past 12 years, and last night was his 50th career appearance, 48th start against San Francisco, and that was the very best game they'd ever had against him. It was only the third time he'd thrown fewer than five innings, the first time in the start where he'd had fewer than five innings and given up four earned runs, first time he'd given up three home runs in a game against the Giants, and Austin Slater had the very best performance ever by a Giants hitter in a single game against Clayton Kershaw. So not only that, but then hold on and win the game after the adversity they faced in the middle innings, and particularly with the way the bullpen performed. Tony Watson, Tyler Rogers, Trevor Gott shut things down against a tough Dodgers lineup. They made Gabe Kapler look good at the end of the game. I thought it was a really important win for this team.
Yeah, it was. First of all, they've played very well in Dodger Stadium, let's face it. And they've done that for a number of years now. And they've handled Kershaw down there, and they weren't intimidated last night. And I think it's the game for me for Slater. And I said this back in 2010 and 2012 when Crawford and Belt and Posey and these guys were coming up. My phrase was, let the kids play. And I said that back way back when. And Slater's not a kid. You know, he's 26. He's been around a little bit. But, Kerry, I tell you, I watch him play now, and in this 2020 season of somewhat development, or maybe they can contend for a wild card spot, let this guy play every day. There's just no reason not to.
Yeah, Marty, the splits have been significant throughout his career. There's no question he's much better against left-handed pitchers than right-handed pitchers. But you know what? I think in the spirit of 2020, in the spirit of this season where you're talking about emphasizing development and seeing exactly what players can do, there's no harm in letting Austin Slater face right-handers 50 to 75% of the time. There's no harm in giving him the opportunity to get more consistent at-bats because, you know, the alternatives just aren't there. They aren't there right now for the Giants. And if you want to learn more about what Slater can give you over the next 2 to 3 seasons, this is the best way to do it. Is he just a platoon player who can crush lefties but can't hit against righties? Maybe, but it's best to figure that out right now, because if you do, you'll go into 2021 and 2022 knowing a whole lot more about their roster, and Austin Slater is someone who belongs on it with the way he's hitting left-handed pitchers.
Oh, come on, those are two shots off Kershaw over Bellinger's head, and but they were meaningful, you know, at the moment they happened. And I think that's part of it. It wasn't like just a throwaway and, you know, 7-2 game and he gets a cookie and knocks it out. Those are home runs when they meant something. And I'll tell you, the other one was Yastrzemski. And for the kid, he's slugging it, you know, 679, his OPS 1.128. And he crushed one as well last night. And then it's a 1-2 punch last night.
I keep waiting for Mike Yastrzemski to come back to earth, Marty. I keep waiting for him to have some bad at-bats, a long stretch in a row. And I guess at the beginning of August, he went 3-for-18 over a stretch there. But he was still drawing walks. He was still seeing the ball really well. The swings were there. He just wasn't finding the outfield grass with the balls that he put in play. And last night was another outstanding game from Mike Yastrzemski, the second Giants player ever to homer left-handed off of Clayton Kershaw, joining Joe Panik, who did it on opening day in 2018, and then the double into the gap that chased Kershaw from the game early. You can't say enough about what he's given this team. Early front runner for the 2020 Willie Mack Award, a leader in that clubhouse despite being there for just his second season. And he's someone you can kind of build around is, okay, you head into 2021 knowing that he is going to play the outfield every single day for you.
Yeah, .679 slugging. I mean, the slugging, you're talking Bonds territory when we start looking at seriously what they're doing. All right, the third one to spotlight on the offense is Donnie Barrels. There he is again. Kerry, 24 for 52. The guy's hitting .462. Charlie Blackmon had a few hits last night. He's up to .446. But a 13-game hitting streak, 14 RBIs, tied for sixth. His last seven games, 11 for 23. And Donnie Barrels, again, takes care of Kershaw.
You know what's most remarkable, Marty, is he goes 3 for 5 last night, and the average only went up like 5 points.
That's yeah, I know you pointed that out.
I mean, it's just incredible to think about what Donnie Barrels is doing right now. And he is someone who makes such solid contact. He takes outside pitches the other way. He takes inside pitches and drives them down the left field line. He takes pitches over the plate and goes up the middle with it. And we talked about this yesterday, Marty, but I continue to be amazed by his bat control and his ability to stay on fastballs, stay on breaking balls. There's no holes in his swing right now. And that's why he's a little bit more slump-proof than other players. And that's why you seem to believe that this could be more sustainable, is because if Donovan Solano's not chasing pitches outside the strike zone and he's able to take pitches where they're thrown, why can't he continue to do this? I know that 465 isn't sustainable, but why can't he hit 330 again this season like he did last year?
Yeah, he can. He can. Especially, look, this is a crazy year, and we don't know how strong the pitchers are, although there are a lot of pitchers throwing, you know, quality starts and a lot of strikeouts, and we just haven't seen a lot of them. Maybe Marquez was the one guy that stood out for us. Maybe Paddock and Lamet to some degree with the Padres. But we'll see as we get into the A's staff and everything else. But pitching's a little different, and there are players with some significant numbers, and this guy is one of them. Let's look at Pence for a second, and everyone in the world felt for the guy. The ball is up in the air. Cueto is pitching the no-hitter. We're going to get to him in a second. And he never saw it, and it fell for the triple, and that was the first hit off Cueto in the fateful sixth inning. And he's still struggling at the plate. He did get a hit last night. But, boy, for Hunter Pence, I know he felt awful. Did you get a chance on Zoom to talk with him last night?
Yeah, we did, Marty, and it was interesting because the Giants were obviously thrilled that they beat the Dodgers, that they beat Clayton Kershaw, that Johnny Cueto pitched so well. But you could tell it was really bittersweet and still tough to handle for Hunter Pence that he had let Johnny Cueto down like that. And it's one thing if you're chasing a fly ball and it hits off your glove and you make an error. It's a completely other thing when you just never even see the ball and never give yourself a chance. And that's what he felt so bad about, is that he saw Johnny Cueto make the right pitch, get the pop-up that he needed, and Pence couldn't do anything with it. And so he said that, you know, Cueto had the magic going. He had the rhythm going. You could feel that it was going to be a special night. With Cueto's pitch count, I'm not really sure that Gabe Kapler would have let that happen. But nevertheless, I mean, Cueto was rolling, and Pence is someone who's been a part of those special moments. He was involved in the Petit game. He was the player out in right field who had to come in and try to make that catch in right field that was so impossible. And so for Cueto to lose his no-hitter like this, Pence admitted it's going to weigh on him for a long time. And he can hope that he doesn't take it to the field on a daily basis. And I don't think that Hunter Pence will, but it is a moment he'll look back on, and that's unfortunate for him. But I do give him a lot of credit for admitting that and talking to us after, because he was really shaken up over that moment.
Yeah, I can believe it. He's a very sensitive guy. He did miss the ball, but Chavez hit it in front of him after 26 outs from Petit. And then, of course, he did make a nice catch in the Lincecum no-hitter. So he's had his moments. But this is not the first time it's happened. I remember back in 1975, Billy North was playing center field for the A's, and Ken Holtzman was pitching, and Tom Verweiser, a little light-hitting infielder for the Tigers, two out in the ninth inning, hit a pop-up to center field. Billy North never saw it. Then it fell for a hit, and Ken Holtzman wanted to shoot him. And to this day, anytime there's a reunion, Ken Holtzman brings it up. So It is one of those moments of baseball, and we did get to see it last night. Henry Schulman was complimenting you. Are you the man now who asked the first question, the first tough question?
It's funny, Marty. So
explain
we're
this.
On these Zoom,
yeah.
We're on these Zoom calls now, and we open things up to questions, and I usually let a 5 to 10 second grace period go by because, you know, I defer to the people who've been here before. I defer to Henry. I defer to John Shea, Baggerly, Alex Pavlovich as well. Anyone who's been here for a long time, I'll happily let them ask the first question. But, you know, Alex is over on TV doing the post-game show. Andy hasn't asked too many questions on these Zooms lately. He likes to get his one-on-ones off the side. So usually it's Henry and myself kind of racing for that that first question. And I just happen to have a quicker trigger on Zoom with the raised hand function. And so this will change when we go back and everything is done in person again next spring, hopefully, and we're sitting in the dugout with Gabe Kapler. Believe me, I'll have the fifth or sixth question. But for now, I can't sit around and just let everyone wait. I have to fill the void in the air and the space. And so it will change. Henry will get his first question again. But for now, I've seemed to usurp his control over that.
I love it. No, you're the guy, and Henry seems willing to let you take the spotlight right now. So a little bit of the inside of the media that's going on now. I must commend you guys. It's not that simple to do these Zoom calls, and Kapler's cooperated and the players have as well. All right, let's talk Johnny Cueto a little bit. Johnny Cueto last night, maybe his most solid game. God, in a long time. Of course, he's pitched great down at Dodger Stadium in his career, but taking the no-hitter into the sixth inning in a game the Giants needed, and he really mm-hmm. did come through last night, and they stayed with him. Your thoughts about Kapler staying with him and Kapler's learning curve with Cueto being the big star?
Well, I think that one of the main reasons the Giants stayed with him, Marty, is just because the bullpen had been so drained over that series in Colorado. And even on Friday night when Jeff Samardzija only went four innings and they needed four out of the pen, I'm not sure that they would have stayed with him had this been his last turn through the rotation, because he had the blister on his foot that Dave Greschner went and checked out. He was nearing 90 pitches, and Turner had career numbers off of him, third time through the lineup. But at the same time, you also have to give your veteran pitcher, the guy who's the ace of your staff, a leash. And I think that if Johnny told Gabe Kapler that he wanted to stay in the game in a 5-0 game, 5-0 game, Gabe's going to trust him. And really, I don't fault him for that because of the way the game was turning out, because the Giants held the big lead. The one thing that couldn't happen happened there, and that was a Justin Turner home run. I think, you know, if he put the ball into the gap and it's a double, it's still a 5-3 game as opposed to a 5-4 game. And so that was unfortunate for him. But I do think that Johnny Cueto has earned that. And with the state of the Giants bullpen the past few days, I really don't know what you do differently there in terms of getting a right-hander or a left-hander up. You're just stretching your bullpen thinner than it needs to be stretched.
No, I agree. And he's your guy, and it is a sixth inning. And if he says he can make it, You know, it's a game in the middle of a pandemic season. You let him stay in there, and you let him mm-hmm. see what he can do. And I think Kapler did the right thing. Muncy pops out. You know, it's interesting with these microphones. You can hear the reaction of the hitters. And honestly, you'd think the Dodgers, if they don't hit a home run every time up there, that they're being cheated. These guys think Muncy, Bellinger, all of them, they should hit a home run every time up. Watson, one pitch, gets Muncy, and Muncy just explodes, and that's the end of the inning. I loved it.
It's so funny, Marty. We actually spoke with Giants reliever Sam Selman on Zoom yesterday and about that very topic, about how
really?
He induced a very loud expletive out of a Colorado Rockies player and then did the exact same thing to Jock Peterson on Friday night when he came in and induced a pop-up. And he said that that's the only positive of playing without fans, is you can hear exactly how frustrated the opposition is. You know when you've made the perfect pitch and how upset your opponent is, for lack of a better word. But, yeah, it was really funny because you could tell Sam Selman was grinning, that it means something to these pitchers when they do get that frustration out of the Dodgers hitters. And so that's something to monitor, because the Dodgers were very frustrated last night, Marty. So can Kevin Gausman keep that going today? He had some good stuff in Colorado. It's a tough pitcher's park, couldn't put it all together, but I thought that Gausman's stuff in terms of the fastball and splitter were his best this year, so I'm intrigued by how he'll perform on Sunday.
Well, we'll have to see what the lefties do. Turner's 4-for-8 against them, right-handed. Betts 15-for-37 with three homers. Muncy 2-for-6 with a homer. Bellinger 1-for-5, but he struggled a little bit against the Dodgers down there. That's been his only experience. So we'll see what happens with him. Tyler Rogers for 2 innings. Did you have a little trepidation when he came back for the eighth?
I didn't, actually. I think that Rogers has been throwing the ball much better than he did, that first week of the season, particularly when San Diego lit him up for 5 in that 10th inning at Oracle Park that we'll all remember for a long time. But, Tyler Rogers is, once again, pitching like he did during spring training and during summer camp, Marty, and it's been really impressive to see. The submarine slider was working for him last night. The fastball was being spotted up and down in the strike zone. And so when he threw the way he did in the 7th inning, I thought it was absolutely the right call to stick with him in the 8th, and it's good for Gabe Kapler that that ended up working out.
Yeah, he has a lot of easy innings, and it gives you that feeling, well, he only threw 8 pitches, bring him back again. And that's one of the arguments of the bullpen. Let's just do it with our eyes. Let's not worry about the script. And if he does have 8 pitches, and boy, he's got it tonight, bring him back out there again. So this will be interesting to see how they handle him. Got in the 9th inning, he's the best they have. I will say that. If he makes a mistake at 97, it's not that easy to knock it out. There are a lot of fly balls, but he is the one guy who can bring it.
And isn't it kind of fun to watch Trevor Gott pitch, Marty? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know exactly what height he's listed at, but he can't be taller than 5'10". And he's whipping 96, 97 in there with the power curveball that just darts out of the strike zone. He's a fun guy to watch pitch. And I think that, in a sport where there's no fans in the ballpark, you need that kind of element of entertainment. He's a good guy to have in that closer role. I like watching Trevor Gott. He whips the leg when he gets the strikeout. He knows when he's dotted the pitch on the paint, and that's what's kind of fun to watch about him. He's got a ton of confidence right now. There's no question about that. He's navigated situations with runners on base really well. So I've been impressed by Trevor Gott, and I think that Giants fans are getting accustomed to seeing him in that 9th inning, and they're starting to feel comfortable with him in that role.
Yeah, I agree. Well, interesting game today. It's getaway day, and then to Houston for the ball club, and then finally back home. I think last night was the key game. You had a win last night. You didn't want to take a chance of being swept. But they get Walker Buehler today, who is not the Walker Buehler of 4-0 last year against the Giants. He's still working his way through it.
Yeah, Marty, this could be a really, really interesting game because this is the Giants' 7th and final game at Dodger Stadium. When the 2020 schedule was released, everyone said, oh, it's so unfair. The Giants have to play 7 at Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers only come to Oracle Park for 3. I thought that was nonsense because the Giants play so well at Dodger Stadium. And now they're 3-3 through their first 6. So they have an opportunity to not just win the series today, but to take the edge in the season series and to, take the edge at Dodger Stadium where they're going to come home for 3 at the end of the month, beginning of September. And I think that that's really big for the Giants. The opportunity to kind of show that Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler have optimized this team for success against the Dodgers. It would be a really big win, a win that goes towards showing that Farhan and Gabe are building something positive in San Francisco. And that's why I'm so excited to watch today's game, because I think that there's a lot that can come out of it, both positive and negative. And I'm excited just to see it all unfold.
Well, they're going to swing from their heels. And what Cueto did, he had him off balance. He had him on the front foot, and that's why he had all the fly balls. And he really handled them. They can be handled by a good pitcher. Now, for Gausman today, and the fastball is 96, 97, it's solid, but he's got to have the changeup. He's got to have the off-speed pitch, and that's the problem, because that fastball, if he gets too much of the plate, they're going to get a good whack at it. So for me, the key, and I'll do this in our Diamond Notes, the key is the off-speed stuff for him, that changeup. It's like Logan Webb. When he can locate that changeup, when this guy can locate a changeup, it becomes a different situation. So for me, that's the key for me today.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with that. That splitter is so good when Gausman has it going. It's a lot of swings and misses. So if he gets 10 to 15 swings and misses, Marty, I'd say it's a good day for the Giants.
Yeah. All right. It's Yaz, Dickerson, Solano, Belt, Longoria, Sandoval, Crawford, Slater in there, thank goodness, against the righty, and Heinemann is doing the catching. Kerry, thanks for a great report this morning, and look forward to A's and Giants and talking with you next weekend.
Yeah, Bay Bridge series coming up, Marty. I'll talk to you then.
All right, take care. All right, that is Kerry Crowley, Bay Area News Group. Always a pleasure having him on. And, boy, that I felt last night was a significant game, and I'm glad that we could take it apart a little bit and get everyone ready for baseball today.